justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet, because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?
I'd like to introduce our speaker this morning, Philip Ganta, from India. Went to the Kakinada School of Preaching. My mother was telling me yesterday that she met Philip at the school on her first trip to India. I think my father had been to India once or twice before she accompanied him. But she remembered Philip from as long as she was going to India with my father, and we've kept in touch, and we've been supporting him in various ways throughout the years. And so he's here to give a lesson of encouragement. We had, if you were not here in class, he explained a little bit more about his ministry, and you missed that. But if you have any questions, ask him, or I could probably answer some questions about what he's doing if you're curious. At any rate, Philip is a very energetic, dedicated Christian teacher. He has established a children's home and school in a place where it's very much needed, where there were children that were more or less on their own that needed some protection and guidance at Petrella. He has hopes to build a hospital, and also educates Christian men to go out and preach in other countries. He and I can't go into that too much, so the details of it here, but he is very he understands that people have to go, and he's found a way to accomplish that. So he's accomplished a lot already as a worker for God, and we really appreciate the efforts that he makes. So he has a message for us to encourage us to be right and be ready when the Son of Man comes. Philip.
Good morning, church. Very happy to see you all. And it's my privilege and honor to be here. So I don't preach usually on the pulpit. So I want to move around and to more close to the people. But anyway, I will try to stick on here. So well, I have brought a wonderful lesson this morning. And thank you, Brother David. And also I want to say thank you for the leaders at the Central Church of Christ for your support. Central Church of Christ is one of the major supporting congregation back to the United States. So we are so thankful for your support. And I'm going to be here a couple of days. And if you have any questions about the work we are doing, and I'm very happy to be here and to explain more about what we are doing in the Middle East and India. So I brought a lesson. It's not actually a lesson, and it's kind of a discussion I have brought this morning. So the title of the lesson is, Do We Miss the God's Blessings? I mean, this is a kind of question I would like to ask you and give kind of explanation from the scriptures. Do we miss the God's blessings? And this is the word blessing, the most misusing word in Indian, in English dictionary. People are misusing the word called blessing. And I want to explain more about what is the meaning of blessing. Every day, everywhere, everybody, Christians, non-Christians, or Hindus, everybody, they are using the word blessing. Right or wrong? Everybody. So before we use the word, we want to make sure that what is the meaning of the word blessing. I would like to learn more. So I want to be on time. I asked David, can I preach 2 hours? So now you know what he said? He and me would be here, everybody gone. So I'll be in American time. So let's go to the lesson again. So is our relationship with God will be cut off? I mean, if we don't pay the electricity bill, the people will come and cut the power off, right? If we don't pay the telephone bill, they will cut the wire. If we don't pay the car loan, they will take away the car. I mean, there is a possibility, right? So, is our relationship with God will be cut off? Definitely. Brother, can you switch on the TV, please? Yeah. So definitely there is a chance to cut off the relationship. So I want to more focus on the blessings, the real meaning of the blessing. So Psalms 139 verse 16, if you see that, I mean, God is still writing our life. So God has a pen, and he's writing each and every one of our lives. And Psalms 139, 16, your eyes saw my unformed body, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. So we are all written people. So God has a pen, and God is writing on that. So what happening? But when you steal that pen, what people are doing, they're stealing that pen. You know, when they came in a certain position. So then what people are saying, God, I'm okay now. I have enough family, and I have wealth. I have bank balance, and I have everything. I have 2-3 cars. So let me write down myself. Let me complete rest of the life. I can write my life. You understand what I'm saying? So people are saying, instead of allowing him, God, to write your life, people are taking the pen from the hand of God and tear the paper. And this is what happening in the society. Not only happening in the US, it's happening everywhere, brethren. So we want to make sure that what kind of faith we are practicing and what is the meaning of real blessing. And if you see that, we have see the ships on the sea. If you see that, anchoring a ship during a storm, when the ships are traveling and when they see the unusual movements, when they heard about the cyclone, disasters coming, so what usually the captain is doing, he's going to anchoring a ship. Usually, depend on the ship, some ships are having 2 anchors, like Titanic having 6 anchors. So they have different anchors. So what they're doing, they're going to stop the ship on the ocean, and then what they're doing, they're going to drop the anchors in the water. And the step 2, anchor dropping the anchor. Step 3, anchor going into deep water. So what happening here, the anchor must sink deep into the mud on the seafloor. As soon as he went into the water, he landed on the ground. Sometimes the anchor goes under the water but never holds the ground. That's why the ships sometimes run ashore. You know what happening? When they're dropping the anchor inside, it goes to the water, And then it drags some time. It never suddenly suck the mud. It's go to the under the water and it's keep moving because it has to hold the mud. So what happening? And some anchors, they're going into the deep water, but they could not able to hold the mud. And what happening, if you see the next slide, a little distance floated the anchor on the ground, it holds the ground. And when the anchor goes deep into the mud, then the ship drifts without moving. It holds. Because all the anchors, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the anchors go to the deep water and holds the ground. And then ship won't move. But what happening? Sometimes the anchor chain was cut off. Ship washed ashore in a storm. Because what happened if the chain cuts? Instead of moving one direction, the ship goes to different direction. Instead of people going towards God, when the relationship cut off, instead of going towards God, people are going away from God. Right or wrong? This is what happening to the people in the society. And Hebrews chapter 6 verse 19 to 20. We have this hope as an anchor, right? And our hope like an anchor and for the soul. So let's go to the next slide. Abraham, faith was very strong like an anchor. I mean, brethren, when you are reading the scriptures, when we are reading the people in the Bible, I don't know how people are describing, I don't know how much people are gaining the knowledge from them. Each person, when we are reading each person's life in the Bible, we should follow them. I mean, we should learn something from them. It's not just like reading about Abraham. I mean, it's not like reading about Abraham, right? We need to take some things from Abraham and we need to imply those in our life. And this is what we need to do. And also, if you see that, when Abraham was 75 years old, when God called and promised to make him a father of nations. Brethren, Christianity is everything based on faith. It's all about faith. And we can get the blessings when we have the faith. So the blessings and faith has interconnection. If we don't have the faith, we don't get the blessings from God. And the point is, when he was 75 years old, he received the God's promise. And 100 when Isaac, the promised child. If you see that, Abraham waited for 25 years. That's a long period of time. And what I'm trying to say, brethren, what is the meaning of blessing? And people are thinking, they want God's blessings like instant, like that. I mean, God's blessings is not like coffee shop. I mean, if you go to the McDonald's and coffee shop, if you ask for coffee, they will get it like that. I mean, you don't get the God's blessings like that. Abraham waited for 25 years. And until that, his anchor was very strong to receive the son Isaac. So what I'm trying to say, brethren, what is the meaning of blessings? I mean, people are misunderstanding this word. And I want to make sure that we don't take wrong interpretation of the word blessing. So it's common for the people to associate God's blessings with material wealth. So there are so many people are thought, if they have cars, if they have the houses, if they have the bank balance, if they have the properties, they thought, oh, we are blessed. I mean, if you see that, the non-Christians and people, those who don't believe God, they are very richer than us. And they have more money than us. And I'm in the Lord's works in 34 years, and I'm preaching the gospel, I'm reaching so many people. I'm not a rich man. There are so many rich people which they don't know God. You think that those are the God's blessings? I mean, they thought that is the God's blessings. But Bible is not saying, brethren. Bible is not talking about the material wealth is the blessing. And let's go and read more. Material blessings take away from God. Oh, this is dangerous. This is really serious thing we need to focus on. Let's look what Jesus said in Luke chapter 12 verse 15. Then he said to them, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Wow, this is something serious. And he said, and let's go and see that. What is the consist of life? This is something, right? What is the consist of life? And what Bible teaches about that? And here is the deal. There are two important things. Life is years of opportunity to develop a relationship with God, with others. What a simple thing it is. I mean, I'm now 50 years. So in my life, what I'm doing, I had the opportunity. So God blessed me, right? He has given good health. Why did he give the good health? Because it's an opportunity for me to develop a relationship with God. That is the primary thing. So what you need to do here, the first thing is you have to develop your relationship with God and make sure every day, and people are, when they wake up from the bed, they want to make sure that they have the balance in the phone, in their cell phone. They want to make sure that they have the connection with AT&T or T-Mobile. Otherwise, the line will be cut off. And some people will die if they don't have their cell phone in their hands. You understand? People die. And what I'm trying to say, brethren, every day you have to develop your relationship with God, because that is the ultimate. And with others, number two, and to serve other people and to lead them to eternity. This is what Central Church of Christ is doing. And because of your support, because of your efforts, I am here today. I am your fruit. Because with your support, I was graduated from the Kakinada School of Preaching. So I am the eyewitness for your blessings. So this is the real blessing. Let's go and read, brethren. What are the real blessings? Number one, having relationship with God and suffering for the cause of Christ and having hope to live with Christ in eternity. This is the real blessing. This is the real blessing. And let's go and see the lesson this morning. Jacob wrestling with God. And let's see. Genesis chapter 32 verse 24. Okay. If people thinking the material wealth is the real blessing, if you think like other people think, let's go and see Jacob. In Genesis chapter 32 verse 24, Jacob wrestling with God. You know the story. I don't want to tell you the story. But I want to tell you a few things. What is the reason why Jacob wrestling with God? He's not poor man, right? He's the rich man. He has everything. And he robbed the blessings from his brother. The first, and he had all the blessings. He has everything. But he's still wrestling with God. And Genesis chapter 32 verse 24, if you see that, verse 26, then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. And then what happening, Jacob? But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. You know the meaning of bless me? The meaning of bless me, Jacob is not asking any property. Jacob is not asking any wealth. Jacob is asking the favor of God. He is asking the presence of God. Without presence of God, without God's presence, he is going to die. You understand? So the real meaning of the blessing means not having material things. It is okay to having material things. That is also God's blessings. But it is not the ultimate. The real meaning of the blessings is to having the favor of God. That's all, brethren. And this Jacob didn't have that favor. That's why he's wrestling with God. Every Christian on this auditorium need to wrestling with God every day, because we need the favor of God. And let's continue the lesson. So do we miss the God's blessings? Yes. Let me tell you a small story. There is a young man who is studying his graduation, and he came to the day of graduation, and he is expecting something from his father. He is going to his college every day, and on the way, there is a car showroom, the new car showroom, and he saw one sports car there, and he wants that. So he studied very well, and finally, the day of graduation, he is expecting his father can buy that car for him. So what happened? His graduation was completed. He came to house, and his father has given one leather edged box, one leather box. And he gave it to his son and told him, please take it. And his son expecting maybe his dad can give the gift for that car, that what he is expecting. So he was disappointed and took that the leather box, and he threw the corner, and he left the house, and he went away. And after several years, he did good job, and he got the good job, and he had very good wealth and good good life. So he heard that his father was died. So he was decided to come back to home. So he came to home, and he went to his father's room, and looking all the room, and then he saw one leather box on the corner, and it was completely dusty. So he went there, and he took the cover, and he just removed all the dust and everything, and he opened that, and he saw a leather edged Bible in that box, and down the box there is a car key, and it was written fully paid. He was kneeled down and cried. He really missed the father's blessings. And how many people are missing like that? So many people are missing the God's blessings. So what I'm trying to say, brethren, people are really missing the God's blessings. Let me tell you that. This gentleman name is Vijaypath Singhania. He is the founder chairman for the Raymond showroom in India. I'm sure you are aware of the Raymond clothes. So what happened? He earned a lot of money, and he built a 36 floors building. And what happened? His son, he threw him, his father, out. Out of his 36 floors, even he did not give one flat for his father to stay. And his father came to the road like an orphan. And why I'm saying this one? The younger generation are neglecting their parents. We can't exist without parents at our age 6, right? When I'm 6, I must need my father, because he has to hold my hand. In the same way, parents can't be exist at their age 60 without us. And I see so many old age homes and so many home cares, so many homes in the United States or some other places, but you can't see that kind of homes in India and other countries. Because when the parents came to the age of 60, they don't need the stick. They need you and me. We should be like a stick to our parents. And this is very important thing, brethren. And we need to focus on that. Because there are unwanted changes happening in the life. Unwanted changes. Great changes are sweeping over our society, bringing fears and shock. And how can anyone do that? Why would they do such a thing? So what we need to do? Let me tell you, brethren, the greatest treasury in the life is not death. So when people died, I mean, so many people are thinking, oh, that is really a tragedy. No. The greatest tragedy in the life is not death. Some people think that when someone dies, that's the worst thing that can happen to you. That's not true. The greatest tragedy in life is not death, but it's life without a purpose. If I am living without a purpose, if you are living without purpose, that is the real death, tragedy. So what happening, brethren? Love is disappearing from the relationships today. There is no more love than what we have seen. In my parents' time, the love they had, I can't see the love in my generation. And whatever the love I am looking, I can't able to see the next generation. What is happening? People are thinking we are getting a lot of wealth. People are thinking we are highly educated. People are thinking we are going to the moon through the rockets. But what about your love towards your neighbor? What about your love towards your family? You are missing the primary thing. The primary thing is the love. Jesus Christ said, Matthew 24:12, iniquity shall be multiplying, the love become cold. And we want to make sure that we should not do that. Because love is disappearing from the relationships. Why? Because people become selfish. Okay, let me tell you a small story. There is a small river, and there are two fish in that, mother fish and child fish. And one day, the child fish came to mother fish and said, "Mom, it's getting bore. Always I'm in this water. Can you please take me to the ground?" And then mother fish said, no, there are so many selfish on the earth. You could not able to go and survive. We need to better stay here. Because there are so many selfish on the community. We should not be like that. So what Timothy are telling, and Timothy is saying, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 4, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful and unholy. Wow, how it is possible? Children are ungrateful to their parents. I mean, it breaks my heart when I see that. We should be grateful to our parents. And we should be thankful to our parents, because they are the blessings for us. They gave the blessings. So who caused to miss the God's blessings? I heard there are a lot of people are saying, oh, because of this fellow, I lost this. Because of this man, I lost this. No. Please do not say that. We should not say that. Who caused to miss the God's blessing? James chapter 1 verse 13 to 14. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. And so, let's see the statement, please. What the Job has given the statement. Job 5:6. For hardship does not spring from the soil, nor does trouble sprout from the ground. So you are the reason for that. So you know the story about what I'm talking. And you know the story. Born, raised of Isaac and Esau. You know all the story. So they both grown up. And the boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter. And Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. You know the story. Let's see what happening here. Godly parents, children turned away. This is sad thing again. Godly parents, children turned away. How it is that children raised in the same home, under the same influence of the same godly parents, can turn out so differently, yet it is nothing new. This is happening with Cain and Abel also. right? Abel and Cain. What happened? Adam and Eve, they are the good parents. But you can see what happening here. If you see that, these last two were twins. Genesis chapter 25, 22 had the same parents and the same spiritual upbringings and yet turned out so differently. So what happening here? Let me see this. Let me explain to you. When culture changes, do we also change the biblical paradigm? There are so many people are saying in, when I'm talking, so many preachers and so many other my brothers, they're saying, it's a cultural difference. Okay, hang on. What do you say? I ask him. It's cultural changes. Of course, there are cultural changes, right? But when the cultures are changing, okay, US has a different culture than Africa. So when you go to Africa, you will change the Bible? Come to India. India culture is different. So when you come to India, you will change the Bible? No, cultures are different than the Bible. So what? So do we also change the biblical? No. And you can see that when culture changes, do we change the biblical pattern too? No. There have been many different culture changes since the Bible was written. There are distinct cultures in the Old Testament and the New Testament. The present day cultures is not the same as the cultures during the time when the Bible was written. Since the cultures have changed, does that mean we should read the Bible differently? No, you should not bring the culture and attach to the Bible. God is not speaking culture. If you want to wear, this is my Indian tradition, right? It's my wish. God doesn't care what kind of dress I'm wearing. And so you should not mix with the cultures with the Bible. This is what the people are doing here. That's why people are away from the God, right or wrong. And let's go and see the lesson. What is the birthright? What happening? Why did Esau lose the blessings? Because he sold his birthright. What is the meaning of birthright? It's a leadership. It's an inheritance. Right of the eldest son. Additional privileges and advantages. Double portion of the father's property. And succeed the father in all official authority and responsibilities. He knew all these things. But he sold. You know the story. I don't want to go back and tell the same story to you. But I want to take some points from this lesson. What is the lessons that we need from here? Esau rejected his birthright. And Esau don't have morals, values, and ethics. Esau not only was immoral, but was godless. He had no ethics or faith. I mean, this is very important. And these days, we should grow our children with moral life and godly life and faithful life. This is very important. When we teach those, then they will be valuable children for us. Esau doesn't have any kind of ethics, but Jacob also don't have ethics. But he valued things of God. So the point is, we should know the values and we should know what kind of things we are expecting from God. Influences are works of Satan. This is a very important thing. And let me go and see this. The generations are highly influencing to the world today. What is the meaning of influence? Why the people are influencing so much, especially the younger generation today? If you see that, F-A-K-E would be the fake. But F-A-C-T would be the fact with the two lines. And our generation are highly influencing by the world. Let me explain to you. Why the people are influencing? I mean, so many people are saying he was influenced. I mean, the 34 years and the God's work, why I was not influenced by others? Why people are not approaching me to influence? Because the faith I have towards God, like an anchor, so no one can move me from God. And no one can separate me from God. Because the anchor, very strong. Let me see this. People feel the need to be informed by accurate information. But when they lack of confidence in their own knowledge, they turn to others in the hope that they will provide them with the correct information. This is what happening. And now, let's go and see what happened here. Esau rejected his birthright because he is arrogant. He is selfish. He has no faith in God. And he had very blind faith. What happening? Esau cried out for his blessings back. Genesis 27:34. When Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me too, my father." No way, no way. Let me close this lesson. Why was it that Esau found no place for repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears? I mean, in the so many occasions in the Bible, God forgave them, right? And God gave the opportunity people to repent. But why this occasion? I don't know whether you ask this question yourself, but I ask myself so many times. Why God just forget about Esau? But if the scripture says he could not able to get the place for the forgiveness, you know why? Here is the reasons. Esau's repentance was not a complete repentance. Number two, Esau's repentance was not genuine. Number three, it was not according to God's terms. Number four, Esau's tears were not for his sinfulness, but for his material loss. So he thought he lost the blessings. So he wants those blessings to get the material things. So what are the real blessings? Again, number one, to develop a relationship with God and with others. And number two, and to serve other people and lead them to eternity. This is all the real blessings of God. So we need to work very hard to get the blessings. The real blessing is to having a proper relationship with God. If you're having a proper relationship with God, that means you are the real person who had blessed with God. And I hope this lesson will encourage you all. And God bless you all with this lesson. Thank you.